Let us pray together. Enlighten us this day, O God, and we thank you for your message, and we ask you to speak to our hearts and for us to listen and hear you. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Well, it's great to be with you again for this stewardship season 2023. I'm pleased to see that people continue to come during stewardship days, and we had people handing in their pledges and stuff this morning. And what a great show of an offering of the church. And I want to say that the table is soon to be set and that all are welcome at this particular feast. And I hope that that's a reality. I believe that it's a reality. Lorraine and I were recently, just this past few days, at a Welcome, Invite, and Connect conference workshop about welcoming and inviting and connecting and all that that means for the life of the church. You'll hear more about that in a time, in due time, I'm sure, from your leadership team here. But certainly part of it that I know to be true is that telling of our own story and how generosity makes a difference is a very important part of it. And I only need to look at your food bank over here that you're probably a bit used to seeing, because you walk in Sunday to Sunday. For me, it's overwhelming, and it's a beautiful living symbol of what it means to be church in the community in 2023. And in particular, this week, and you heard Paul's letter to the Philippians, the church in Philippi, as he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Well, let's name it. That's been difficult this week, hasn't it? The stuff that's happening in the world has made that difficult. I touched on it when I opened. And you know, I just want to acknowledge that. I want you to know that we all experience it as well. We know what's happening and that we're extremely concerned about it, and that we hold in prayer our neighbors at the synagogue, and we hold in prayer our neighbors worldwide. And that also goes for people of Ukraine and the Russians and those involved in conflict anywhere in the world, or those were children, women, men, ordinary civilians are involved and hurt and oppressed and destroyed. So with everything that you hear today, let's hold that in tension. And that's one of the challenges, and actually one of the beauties of being a Christian, is having that ability to hold things in contrast. It's not unlike when we lose someone in our own lives or one of our friends does. We hold tension between sadness and missing of the person, in tension with the joy of Christ and the fact that they know or knew Jesus in their lives, and that we actually rejoice in their lives well lived, which is why we celebrate lives when we have funerals or other such things. But on a little different note, I want to move a little more into directly into stewardship, and I follow great footsteps. You had the bishop here 2 weeks ago, from what I understand, Bishop Anna, and last week Alistair, reinforcing her message of stewardship being a spiritual practice. And yes, it's a spiritual practice. And I want to just tell you a little story, and if you're one of the people that happens to follow the international Anglican cycle of prayer, you'll note that the Anglican Church in Kenya is on the prayer cycle today. And Alistair was there a year ago, May, I think it was, and him and Sabina, and they met Criswell, Reverend Criswell, our friend from over there, his wife Clarice, also a priest of the diocese and in charge of the Mother's Union in the Diocese of Tiita Teva. And we, my wife and I, Marion, also had the honor of going there this August. A little bit different, though, because Criswell had moved parishes. Alistair encountered Criswell in Voi, which is a reasonably good-sized town, whereas we now encountered him in a place called Wundanyi, which is about an hour and a half drive, depending how bumpy the road is today, based on how much it's rained. And we had to go up the hill, as they call it, or up the mountain. And the first thing you hear about going there from anyone is that it's cold. And when Alistair visited Kenya, it was very hot. When we visited Kenya, it was kind of normative temperature like you'd have here. But up the hills, in the clouds, believe me, it was misty and it was cold and the kids were dressed in warm clothing. And it was a beautiful church, a beautiful parish church, beautiful in its simplicity. It was a concrete building and with no furnaces, you know, we don't have such things. And great congregation, though, really active and involved Sunday school and everything right to the elders of elders. And so it was a wonderful service, but I want to just pinpoint one piece of it because it ties back to the theme of stewardship. And I was quite blown away, actually, and it took a conversation with the parish treasurer to understand what was happening. What was happening was, and I'm going to use chicken noodle soup as the example, but that's not exactly what they had. What happened in the middle of the service somewhere, they had finished, they did announcements in the middle of the service and a couple other things, a fair bit of everything surrounded by music, beautiful African beat, you know, as you would expect in Kenya. And at this point in the service, it was just before the offertory began, where the people would come up, and there's actually boxes up at the communion rail where they'd put their Kenya shillings or their offering envelopes. But what happened is a guy stood up, and there was a scurry of activity, and I didn't really know what was happening, but people were holding up bags of vegetables and other produce that they had grown at home, I guess. And became evident to me later that that was how they made their life, these particular people made their livelihood, was growing such things. And what happened is it was really like an auction sale, and it was a little bit jarring in the middle of liturgy, but it was really interesting because what happened is, you know, they'd bid this stuff up and it would reach, you know, 10,000 shilling or something, because their shillings are not worth a lot of dollars, and eventually somebody would get the bid and they'd get these particular vegetables and they'd give them to a friend or they'd take them home, but they'd pay the money to the church. So what happened, and I spoke with this treasurer and I was very intrigued. She had a very sophisticated system. Open offerings on this pocket, special offerings in this pocket was her accounting technique, which I know David's cringing as I say that, but it was wonderful. She's a very warm-hearted, wonderful person. Ruth is her name. But she explained to me that the concept, and the concept is that there's a lot of folks there that literally couldn't afford to give any shillings to the offering, but they came anyway. And as a community, they had figured out that, well, if I've got a few shillings and you've got a few vegetables, I can offer the shillings, you offer the vegetables, I'll take the vegetables home, you feel included, you feel fully included, you've participated in the stewardship, and that, you know, feels proper and warm for people. And as the person offering the shillings for said vegetables, I feel like I've helped a neighbor and contributed to the parish at the same time. So it's a beautiful thing, and I didn't, it just touched my heart how it made stewardship all-inclusive. We work hard at being all-inclusive at our doors, welcoming, inviting, connecting with people, but this is a way that within the sort of normal stuff that we do Sunday to Sunday, and sure, we listen to the scripture that says a widow's mite, one coin in the offering box is just as important as somebody else's, you know, giant check. But I think it's more than that. I think it's a whole DNA of how is everyone included. And I heard Joan talk about time and talents as well as dollars and cents. And those things are also very important. Some folks are able to give of their time, but not so able to give of their treasures. But, you know, I think we're all called to go just a bit deeper. So I'm not going to sort out how to do it, but there may be a link between bringing food to the food bank and maybe offering a little extra offering to the church at the same time. So I'll leave that with you. I think that the other lesson from today's scripture, and it's a very tough parable, that parable from Matthew's gospel of the wedding banquet, it appears to be very harsh, and it is in some ways. But, you know, I'll just share a parable from my own life, and that's that when I preside at weddings, and You all know that in the church these days we don't have as many weddings as we used to. But when we do, it's wonderful. And one of the wonderful moments, and I always, in preparation, I always prepare the groom to be prepared for this because it's very emotional. And particularly with men, you know, it'll be, oh, I'm good, I'm not emotional. And then all of a sudden they fall apart. And that's okay. It's actually touching when they do. But one of the moments is sometimes I'll peek out from the vestry and have a look. And then the inevitable question is, you know, is the church full? Is there lots of people here? And they have sent the invites, so they ought to know that there might be 100 or 100 and some odd people here. But often they don't, and I'll say, yeah, it's looking really full, you know, it's really good. It's, I don't really know what their expectation is, right? But when I look out over that crowd, it's always interesting. And of course, people dress to the nines, and even as the bride comes up the aisle and the groom, and I'm sorry if it's a multi-gender or same-gender service, I'm sure it's the same impact, but looking at someone coming up the aisle in their finery and dress to the nines, and particularly, you know, with a bride wearing the white for the sign of purity, and it's always just so beautiful and so focused on what people are wearing. So my question is this: what if someone wandered in the back pew, maybe a couple of people, with their baseball caps on backwards and their jeans hanging low and all the rest of that stuff, you know? Are we going to welcome them? Are we going to say, hey, come right in, there's a special seat just for you, God's reserved it for you? Well, you know, I think it would be a stretch. Fortunately, we don't have that happen that often in this part of the world, but it certainly could. There's places in the world where weddings are more of a public event, like everybody comes to a wedding in some small towns, even in right here in BC or Saskatchewan, Alberta, wherever you may be. It's not that uncommon, and so how do we treat those people? And, I mean, here we hear that the poor guy gets, you know, isn't dressed properly, gets put out to the, well, he's killed ultimately, right, and kicked out of the event. So, you know, how do we balance that with the reality of God's love and the love that Jesus has for his people? Well, in those days, everybody wore a white robe to a wedding, and the host would typically hand those out at the door, if you will. And I'm told they didn't even have pockets because it was an equalizing. The idea was for everybody to look the same. And as we go forward in baptism, and it's not practiced so much these days, but it used to be that you wore a white gown to baptism. Some folks still do that with their children when they're being baptized. But as we present ourselves and we are all equal in the eyes of God and we're all welcomed at the banquet and we all are given that opportunity and given that beautiful robe as we enter. So it may be a symbolic robe in this day and age, and the robe, we robe ourselves in the righteousness of Christ as we come to feast today at this table. And we say that all are welcome at this table, and I hope and pray that we live that out. So as it involves directly stewardship, I challenge you to look at that and look at how you're connecting and inviting and welcoming people into your parish, as well as how that might connect with stewardship. And it may not be immediate. Just because you have three new people show up on Sunday doesn't mean they're going to give to the offering. But in the long run, if you connect well with people and they become part of this community, if they come into communion, community, communion, same root words, they too will find that they're called, that they feel this urge from God to give of their time, of their talents, of their treasures. So I pray for this congregation of St. John. I give thanks for your warm welcome today, and I encourage you to find creative, exciting, interesting ways to realize that your financial statements are in fact a theological document. Your budgets are in fact a theological document. What does that mean? It means God is present in those facts and figures that a treasurer may present to you at some point. So know that, and know that you're a living part of that document and of what it represents, which is this community gathered of God's people. Thanks be to God for this congregation, and may God bless you and keep you today and always. Amen.